Welcome to Spiritual Psychology. My name's Renee LaValle McKenna, and I bring my 30-plus years as a recovering addict and ex-crazy person turned therapist and shamanic healer to bring you snackable teachings on spirituality, psychology, and all things personal growth. And today I want to offer you a resilience blueprint for turbulent times, particularly in dealing with the media. And many of us feel it's a responsibility to keep up with what they call the news, that somehow being aware of terrible things happening to people across town, across the country, or across the world somehow makes me a better citizen. And my experience is that that's just simply not true. Anything really important in the world, I find out, absolutely. And I did a few years ago get on the New York Times email list. And so throughout the day, I'll get a variety of emails. I don't even subscribe to them, so I can rarely even open it up because they limit how many free things you can read. And that's intentional because of what happened this morning. I sat down to do my prayer and meditation. I was clearing my spammed email, and I clicked into the New York Times article that gave statistics about how smartphones are deteriorating our children's mental health, how apparently there's a bunch of parents practically prostituting their children across Instagram, how the Boy Scouts are getting sued for sexual abuse, and how the Alabama Supreme Court made IVF, in vitro fertilization, illegal because they decided that a frozen embryo is a child. And I usually just read the one or two lines of the email feeder, and that gives me enough information. But they hooked me with a juicy headline, and I clicked in this morning and scanned four depressing news stories that really have absolutely no impact on my life. Except that they did have an impact on me because I felt like I just ate bad food. It's a perfectly nice morning. I woke up and did my gratitude practice for all of the wonderful people and opportunities in my life, listing the blessings that I do have. I was sitting down with my cup of tea and my incense in my journal to do a little prayer and meditation, and whew, I could feel that cold wind of pessimism, cynicism, and anxiety just kind of blow right in to my peaceful little space through that New York Times article. And it's very interesting because there's actually a perspective. I think many people feel that things are getting worse. And by many, many counts across the board, both in America and worldwide, many things are getting better. In the 1970s, murder rates hovered at around 9 murders per 100,000 people. In 2017, the FBI reported that the homicide rate was down to about 5 per 100,000. That's almost half. The violent crime rate that peaked in the 1960s at about 760 events per 100,000 residents. In 2018, the violent crime rate was down to 370 per 100,000. Again, almost half. There's this really powerful graph of the global death rate from war over the past 600 years put out by Oxford University. And basically, over the last six centuries, there's a pretty consistent amount of war. Now, we have had some of the highest highs and lowest lows in the 20th century, but global conflict has actually plunged since the year 2000. In periods with 5 or 10 battle casualties per 100,000 people have been pretty common throughout history. And since 2000, battle deaths have appeared to drop close to 0 per 100,000 people. Now, war and violent crime and murder are terrible things, as are inflation and child sex trafficking. But all of these difficulties and horrors are part of this plane of existence and seem to be part of the human experience back through history. But in general, the quality of life for people worldwide has gone up on almost every count. But the quality of the tone of our news media has declined radically over the last 80 years. And there's probably a lot of complex reasons for that, including the fact that humans, it seems, have what social psychologists call a negativity bias, that we tend to pay more attention to bad-seeming information than good information. And so there's kind of a negative feedback loop based on audience demand, that viewers are drawn to stories that bring up strong emotions like fear or anger or sadness. And so the news gets more views, they make more money, and so they're more willing to focus on negative events and prioritize these stories. An interesting little footnote, there's a Russian news website, The City Reporter, decided to publish only positive stories for a day. And they wanted to experiment to see the effect of negative versus positive news stories on people. So all the stories that day were written from a positive perspective, and apparently their readership dropped 66%. And apparently it's been observed that negative words like bad, worst, and never are one-third likely more to catch people's attention than more neutral or positive output. So that may not be news to anybody, but how do we navigate it? So I'm going to give you a bunch of practical tips in a few minutes, but I think the most important thing we can do is to be mindful and present in the actual physical circumstances of the life that we have. This is our scope of practice. The people, places, and things that we are actively engaged with and interacting with right now. Our ministry is our speed dial and our contact list. This is where God or the universe has put us to do our work, to receive and give. And again, the people, places, and things that are right within arm's reach. And when I come present right now, in my space and place and present time, the present moment is generally a wonderful moment. Now, I may be moved to do social justice work, and I have been moved to do social justice work, or charity, or environmental work. And those are beautiful and important things. But my suffering, because someone else is suffering, does not reduce their suffering. And I have had a deep and very destructive relationship with codependency and toxic empathy. Now, absolutely, we are all connected here, much more deeply and intimately than we might imagine. In fact, my life work is to relieve the suffering of others, to grow in wisdom, effectiveness, compassion, to use my gifts and talents to make a contribution, as humble as it might be, into the larger system. Many of you know I was a housekeeper for 12 years, and scrubbing people's toilets and washing their dirty floors was my service to the world. And it was great work. And it is, I believe, the quality of our own consciousness that is the most important thing that we bring here, both to others and for our own experience. And devolving into fear, negativity, depression, anxiety, victimization, hopelessness, those are not helpful energies. And things that feed those perspectives are like junk food or maybe even poison for my mind, my spirit, and my emotions. And I did a podcast number 146, Praying for the Highest Good, that our concern for others is best expressed in hope, love, prayers for peace, fulfillment. But each of us is on our own soul's journey here. Every individual of the 8 billion of us has some kind of a unique soul agreement that we made with the larger consciousness system, and the circumstances of our birth are part of that. And the great opportunity, and perhaps even the whole way that the earth plane is designed, is that we have the possibility and the potential to grow and evolve, to heal and change, to help each other. And I am most helpful when I'm grounded, when I'm connected with God and the larger creative, infinitely generative system, and asking where I can be most useful in any given day. And I try not to put my energy in other places because it's a distraction and often a devolution to have angst over suffering that I am powerless over. And if I have that angst, whether it's because of homelessness, war, abuse, starvation, my own suffering points to where I need to grow and evolve. If I really want to do something, then there are actions I can take. And there are absolutely ways we can make the world a better place. But I'm not capable of doing that if I'm in cynicism, fear, and hopelessness. My responsibility is to become, I believe, the best version of myself I can be, and to offer myself in humble service of where I can be most useful. And those always have practical, doable, achievable, and maybe snackable little things. If you're concerned for the environment, pick up trash on the street. If you want to help the homeless, make an extra sandwich in the morning. and hand it off to the poor soul sleeping on the sidewalk. You may be involved in a community organization that sends aid to war-torn places. I sponsored many, many women through a program called Woman for Woman International, which focuses on the most decimated countries in the world from war, educating and providing programs for women to become financially independent and expand their own quality of life and their awareness of their own human rights. Beautiful organization. But the energy of hope, healing, potentiality are always present here, always. And the difficulties, both globally and individually, that we have are usually self-created. And this is not a design flaw. The earth plane is a machine set up to evolve our consciousness because we all have an inner compass of suffering and joy. And again, I am dedicated to relieving the suffering of others in every area of my life. But everybody has their own soul's journey, and I don't have the privilege of understanding what that is. And I know from my own often horrible experiences, new things grew out of that suffering that couldn't have happened without it. And on a meta perspective, death is part of this whole system. And because we are all part of the system, I have actually come to believe that death is not the end that we believe it is. In fact, death is actually a very compassionate edge that doesn't allow us to suffer too much. If there's too much suffering, we die, and there's a reset or a continuation. Now, I do believe on a soul level that we grow and evolve out of our need to be here in the third density, and there are many densities above this, and it seems that many don't actually have a physical form, but our consciousness continues to grow and evolve. And I think we're all headed back, however many 100,000 lifetimes we have to do that, back to unified bliss in this infinitely creating oneness. And so how do you survive the media? Set a time limit. Allow yourself to take a break from social media and the news. Limit how much time you spend on social platforms and news sites. And that can really help you manage stress and anxiety. Feel free to give it up entirely. I give you permission. You will find out anything important you need to know. I promise you. So you can give yourself permission not to read the news at all. Be really mindful how you engage online. Getting in arguments through messages and comments online generally don't change anybody's opinion. And sometimes it's best to just not engage. God bless them. Let them have their own day. Save your own mental and emotional energy for where you choose to put it, rather than being dragged into things unconsciously. So practice enforcing limits. When there's traumatic events happening, it's really common for people to ask questions or request updates. And you can feel free to say, I don't want to talk about that right now. When we were preparing for Christmas dinner, somebody turned on the news right as we were starting to serve the meal. And I said, could you please shut that off? It kind of ruins my appetite to listen to a list of horrors as we're laying out the appetizers. And Grandma didn't understand because she's a news addict, but she was willing to shut it off. So focus on things within your control. We can't control what other people do or say online. We can't control the events that the news reports on. So instead of focusing on what's outside your control, focus more of your time and energy on the things in your life that you have a say in. Feel free to mute, unfollow, or delete things that make you feel bad. So this is a mindfulness to really notice how you're feeling and take responsibility for what we let in to our minds and our energy system. Just like we pay attention to what food we eat, really paying attention to what the quality of the information is that we're taking in. And it is part of our own growth and evolution to take responsibility for our own emotional state. We have free will for a reason, and we can choose where we put our time and our energy and use it in ways that we feel good about and that make us feel good. And I wish you well as you navigate the turbulent ocean of the modern information age. Thank you so much for listening. I've created a great free worksheet, 10 signs that you need to do shadow work. There's a link in the show notes. And if you want to do some shadow work or get some support around the anxiety created by this information age, shoot me an email, info@reneemckenna.com, and we can set up a free discovery call to see if a block of spiritual psychology work might benefit you in your life. Blessings on your path until we meet again. This is Renee LaValle McKenna for Spiritual Psychology.